Friends, it is good to speak with you this evening. The last time I preached a sermon was on the occasion of my baptism. That probably sounds a little strange to those of you who have been Episcopalians your whole life, but I was raised as a Mennonite. And Mennonites, while they're different in many ways, one key difference for today's purposes is that they are Anabaptists. So, unlike four-year-old David, who thought he might be an anti-Baptist for some reason, the prefix Anna means again or anew. So as rebaptizers, Mennonites don't believe in infant baptism, and in that tradition, you're not baptized and don't step into your role into the church until you're old enough to make an informed decision as an adult. Even though I was lucky enough to be raised in the church my whole life, I had resisted baptism for several years. There was a lot of things that my church family knew. They knew I was active in the life of the church. They knew that I felt called to youth ministry, and they knew that I was going through something. What they didn't know was that I was gay. My faith had been easy up to that point. I was always surrounded by friends and family who supported me and who shared my faith. And after I came out, that wasn't exactly the case anymore. Many of my friends withdrew. I was sent to conversion therapy. It was a very dark time for me. The church that had been the cornerstone of my life for my entire childhood and young adulthood was not the same church anymore. And while I never doubted that there was still love there, in a lot of ways I felt like I had lost my church, and not just the congregation, but my entire church. So I left the church. While I worked on reconciling with my family and my friends, and I am happy to say those relationships were repaired, I did not find my way back to church for some time. In my mind, some things were possible and some things were impossible. My faith would now need to be a deeply individual and personal affair. When I would read today's gospel lesson, I read it as a father celebrating the restoration of his relationship with his son. But suffice it to say, there were a lot of others who have a very different reading. And I didn't understand this. I knew in my heart that being who God had wonderfully made me to be wasn't a sin. And even if I was wrong, what made my sin so different from their sin that there was not a seat at the table for me anymore? In those difficult times, I would try to remind myself of my favorite Bible verse, that God knew the plans that he had for me, even if I didn't, and that those were plans to prosper and not harm me, plans to give me a hope and a future. When I think back on how faith and real life has intersected for me, I marvel that God was looking for me to restore my relationship with Christians in a church format, even when I wasn't looking for it. He was looking to call me back to community and back to home when I was looking everywhere else. While I was studying at FSU in undergrad, a friend of mine invited me to St. John's for an Easter service. I didn't really know what an Episcopalian was, and frankly, it wasn't that much more clear after the service. But not too much stuck with me from that day, but I remember the beauty of this space and the intentionality of the service and the welcome that I received from perfect strangers. Years later, I spent a summer at Oxford studying English and European law. And while I was there studying English legal history, I got to learn a little bit about Anglican traditions. I loved being in England and hearing the church bells toll, and I was amazed at the old cathedrals and churches up and down Wales. I thought a lot about the men and women who built them and the kind of faith that it would take to do that. In the days before machinery, to lay the cornerstone of a cathedral, hoping that your grandson would lay the capstone. And while I was at Oxford, I ran into a very friendly Anglican priest who was studying in the courtyard one day, and he was visiting St. Edmund's Hall as well. And while we sat outside of the buttery and chatted, at some point in the conversation, he told me that there was room in the church for someone like me. And that seemed unlikely for me, even in a church headed up by a queen. Years later, after law school finished, when I returned to Tallahassee after a brief hiatus to come work for the Attorney General's office, I rented a brick walk-up just a few blocks away from where we are today. And one winter morning, with the windows open to enjoy the cool breeze, I heard the tower bells at St. John's. And for reasons I can't entirely explain, the bells called me, and I couldn't know what I was being called back to. St. John's has been my spiritual home now for 8 years, and I've been blessed to serve in all the ways that Mother Abby mentioned earlier, so I'll skip that part. But I look forward every year to teaching youth confirmation and reminding them as they step into their baptismal covenant that there will always be room in the church for them. And in that time, I've also been happy to discuss some of the radical ways that faith lives at St. John's. I think a lot of times people think that we are radical because of the way that we include LGBTQ folks or the way we try to treat men and women equally or our work towards racial justice. But I think that mistakes the symptom for the cause. And in my spiritual journey at St. John's, it's been the Christ-centered focus of the people that I worship with that has set it apart. And with Christ at the center, you doing your best to love your neighbor as yourselves, you can hardly not do those things. So far in the story of faith, I've spoken about it largely as my journey, but I'd like to take a moment and ask you to look at it from the other side. For my friend who invited me here in undergrad, it was just a moment sharing with a friend. For the nice priest at Teddy Hall, it was just a few minutes out of his day with a visiting American. And for whoever was ringing the tower bells that winter morning, it was just another Sunday, probably one they wanted to sleep in on. None of them knew that what they did or said would be pivotal for me in my journey. And none of them knew that faith and life would intersect in that way for me. For them, it was probably just another day. And I know that's been the case for me. I do not consider myself much of an evangelist, but I think that's because we often consider evangelism in terms of oratory and rhetoric. That having been said, I've been happy standing with my friends who have followed me back to the church. And I've been blown away to discover that my perseverance and the persistence of my family, all of us together insisting that we would put love above all else and God at the center, has served as an example to people I didn't even know were watching, who realized that they wouldn't have to choose between their family, their faith, and their being their authentic self. If there's one thing to take away from the story today, I would say that it's where faith and real life have intersected for me, time and again, it was in coming home.